Hello, Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back, myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us. Only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
Hello, flagship listeners. In a moment, you are going to hear a free preview of this week's subscriber-exclusive flagship podcast, available exclusively at patreon.com/voicesofwrestling on our $5 tier. Some of the topics covered on this week's flagship: a preview of the two-night SummerSlam coming up this weekend from Minnesota, a little bit of advice for AEW and Tony Khan, what could be next for New Day, and so much more, including our look at the midpoint of G1 Climax 36. That is the segment that, if you just hang tight, you will hear in just a moment as we give you a little preview of what you can hear if you subscribe at patreon.com/voicesofwrestling, where you can listen to the show in its entirety. And there has never really been a better time to subscribe to the flagship Patreon, especially on our $10 tier, which will grant you access to this weekend's instant reaction live for SummerSlam. This Sunday, Rich Krejci and I go live immediately following the second night of SummerSlam to recap both nights, as only we can, on the best review show in the business, Instant Reaction Live. Nobody goes deeper. That will also grant you access to last weekend's Instant Reaction Live of AEW Redemption, and also Instant Reaction Live coming up on August 30th, immediately following All in Wembley. And there is so much more going on at patreon.com/voicesofwrestling on the flagship Patreon. Every week, the Thursday Dynamite review, the most comprehensive and insightful Dynamite review on the planet. Daily G1 audio for the ongoing G1 Climax 36, the deepest and best daily G1 audio that there is, that you can find anywhere. We're also covering the Fyre Festival, daily 01 Fyre Festival audio. Who's giving you that? Only the flagship Patreon. Flagship Plus. There's a new Flagship Plus nearly every day on the flagship Patreon. What is Flagship Plus? It is your supplemental flagship content covering topics that we just don't have time to get to on the flagship. Some topics recently covered on recent editions of Flagship Plus include All Japan Pro Wrestling and the recent Triple Crown matchup between Kento Miyahara and Rene Yabe, and what's next for All Japan as they build towards their big show next month. Rich reviewed WWE Radio, the new look WWE Radio on Sirius XM. All in ticket updates and analysis that you're not going to get anywhere else. Rev Pro Summer Sizzler, another review that you can only hear on the flagship Patreon and that you will not hear anywhere else. $5 gets you in, $10 gets you everything, including Instant Reaction Live for this weekend's SummerSlam and last weekend's AEW Redemption. Stay tuned for a special preview of this week's paywall exclusive flagship, and please join us this weekend for SummerSlam Instant Reaction Live. How you doing? It is I, Joe, and this is the greatest professional wrestling podcast in the world, the flagship podcast. No Rich Krejci this week. So it is me, all alone, on this special subscriber exclusive flagship podcast. Got a lot to get to later on in the show. It is SummerSlam week. Two-night SummerSlam, Saturday and Sunday. There will be an instant reaction live on Sunday night, wrapping up both nights of SummerSlam. You can hear that exclusively, and the only place you'll hear Rich and I review SummerSlam, the SummerSlam, if you will, both nights, is on that instant reaction live on the $10 tier. So, if you're listening to this show on the $5 tier, you're going to need to upgrade before this weekend to get access to SummerSlam Instant Reaction Live. As most of you know, it is without question the best review show in the game. Nobody goes deeper than we do. Nobody goes more in depth. Nobody attacks these shows from as many angles as we do. Our reviews are nearly as long as the shows themselves. Actually, that might not be true in the case of these AEW pay-per-views lately. Speaking of which, later on in the show, I will have some advice for All Elite Wrestling with an assist from my good, close, personal friend, Lance Storm. No, Lance will not be on the show. And no, we've never actually met. But Lance Storm had some comments earlier this week that I found very interesting. And I am going to bounce off of those comments and offer some sage advice. And you know my advice is always great. I am going to offer some sage advice to Tony Khan and All Elite Wrestling based on those comments that Lance Storm made earlier this week. That and so much more on this special subscriber exclusive edition of The Ship. Nobody calls it that. I don't know why I just said that. It just tumbled out of my mouth. I've never heard anyone call this show The Ship, nor should they, by the way. Don't start that. Not a fan of it. We're going to start here. A little G1 catch up slash recap slash, how about we call this the halfway through the G1 catch up slash recap segment. Very wordy, very clunky, very bad description for the segment. Didn't really think that one through. But by the time some of you listen to this, you're all going to listen to this at different times. Some of you are going to just devour this show as soon as it drops on the Patreon feed sometime on Friday, late morning, early afternoon, whatever the case may be. Others aren't going to listen to this until Saturday, Sunday. Some of you break up the flagship over the length of your commute. So I'm not going to talk about standings sort of in the micro, maybe in the macro, based on where I think things are heading. So it won't be that kind of sort of recap of the G1 to this point. I'm not going to review matches or shows because, again, we're kind of in the middle of this thing. And who knows when you, individual listener, will be hearing this. And as you guys know, if you want detailed reviews of each G1 show, we're doing that right behind this very paywall. Daily G1 coverage, as we've been doing for however many years it is at this point. So each show has been reviewed behind the paywall, and you get your match reviews, you get your standings, you get your attendance updates, you get everything on those shows. So we're not going to waste people's time doing that here either. But what I want to talk about is some, what I feel are some of the more interesting bullet points as we are about halfway through the tournament. No matter when you listen to this thing, we're going to be about halfway through the tournament when you do. So I think now is a good time at the midpoint of this to discuss what have been some of the more interesting bullet points to this point in the tournament. Number one's an easy one. Shota Umino. Shota Umino wrestled one match in this thing, got injured in Chicago against Zack Sabre Jr., concussion, and they yanked him. They pulled him out. And why that's a big deal is because he was one of the favorites in the B block. He was one of the favorites to win the tournament. And he ends up wrestling one match and he's out of the thing. So maybe one day we'll find out whether they have to rip up all of their plans and rebook this baby. We don't know. What we do know, what we could surmise, what we could, you know, reasonably conclude is that Shota Umino was going to be a big factor in the block, at minimum, right? Whether he won the block or not, whether he went on to win the tournament. So Shota Umino being eliminated from this thing before the tour even began in Japan is obviously one of the biggest, if not the biggest story of the tournament here at the halfway point. It has to be. It has to be. This could have been an injury situation that has changed the rest of New Japan's year up to and including whatever the plans were at Wrestle Kingdom. That's how impactful this injury could have been. At minimum, though, this is a guy who undoubtedly would have been the mix going into the last night of the B block. And to some degree, the entire B block had to be rebooked. Whether that means a new winner of the block, whether that means a new winner of the tournament, maybe we'll find out someday. Maybe we won't. But that has to be big time bullet point number one of the midpoint of this tour. Number two, I'm going to go with Yuto Ice and Oscar. I have not been a big fan of that tag team, the Knockout Brothers, as you guys know. I'm almost always the low man on every single one of their tag team matches. I am not sold on Yuto Ice the way that nearly everybody else seems to be. I wouldn't say I'm on Lanza Island with that one. I've seen a few other people, mostly very smart people, if I might add, that are kind of maybe not as critical of him as I am, but definitely less into him or a little more skeptical of his upside than the consensus and certainly your Gen Pop New Japan crowds, where due to his charisma, he's over like a motherfucker. No one's ever going to deny that. This guy's over like crazy. He has undeniable charisma. He already has an undeniable crowd connection. He's, you know, he's fought half the battle and won. All of that is very good. All of that is nothing I've ever denied. What I have questioned is, can he ever emerge as the type of worker necessary to traditionally be on top in New Japan? I have a lot of questions regarding that. I have a lot of questions regarding his gimmick, which is good for now, and it's getting him over for now. I do not think the let's get high, bleach blonde hair, kind of, what is he, a rapper, a street guy, you know, whatever you want to call him. I don't think long-term that's a top guy gimmick in New Japan. And that's okay. He can evolve from that. Wrestlers are in a constant state of evolution. But there's some questions there, and I said at the start of this tour that I was going to, quote, ride Yuto Ice like a show pony, end quote, and really laser focus on him and what he could do as a singles wrestler against 9 very varied and different kinds of opponents. And let's see what he's got. It's the G1. It's the G1 climax. You can't hide. You can't run and hide. You're going to wrestle a couple of shitters. You're going to wrestle some of the best workers in the company. You're going to wrestle, guys that have a long history and lineage of great singles matches in the G1. I mean, look at his block. You've certainly got the shitters covered. Jake Lee, Sonata, some would say the Great Okan, right? You've certainly got some of the best wrestlers in the promotion covered. Konosuke Takeshita is in this block. You've got the guys with long lineage of great G1 matches where the standard is pretty high, with Hirooki Goto and Shingo in this block. And you've got contemporaries, other young New Japan wrestlers on the rise, sort of on the same level as Yuto Ice, all waiting for the breakout, all waiting for the shove that Yota Tsuji has already received. When you're talking about people like Rohei Oiwa, Bolton Oleg, So again, you wrestle all kinds. And then, of course, the world champ is in this block. Yota Tsuji's here. So Yuto Ice, certainly in front of him with these nine matches, had an opportunity to wrestle all kinds, all styles, wrestlers of various levels of overness. You're going to have different match structures. So let's put up or shut up. You cannot hide in the G1. You can't. And no, this isn't 2017 anymore. This isn't, you know, vintage, golden era, Bushiroad, Okada era, Naito era, New Japan, where the blocks are stacked and you almost accidentally have great matches just by showing up. It's not that era anymore. It's a different kind of era, but you still cannot hide in this tournament. If you stink, it's going to show. So as I said at the start of this thing, I'm going to laser focus on Yuto Ice, and I was going to ride him like the proverbial show pony. And that's what I've done, and I've been pleasantly surprised. Do I think he has the makings of a... Do I think he has the makings of a varsity athlete? No. Do I think he has the makings of a super worker based on what I've seen at about the halfway point with a handful of matches here? I don't know. I'm still leaning no on that. But I think he's had a very interesting tour and a very interesting tournament, and I think New Japan is telling one of the more compelling narratives with him as we move along through this thing. His story is basically that he's not ready to be a great singles wrestler. His story is that this is a tag team guy, and at least on the English commentary, they've talked about how stamina might be an issue. He doesn't have Oscar to tag out to. He's got limited singles match experience. And he's sort of been a troll in a lot of his matches to his opponent. He's had a strategy of trying to get under the opponent's skin in a lot of the matches, which has been a lot of fun to watch and obviously something he's very good at. He certainly gets under my skin. I find the guy deeply annoying. But more than that, even the overall arc so far for Yuto Ice is that he's been overmatched. And he is this gutsy, fiery underdog who takes a beating, doesn't give up, has that undeniable crowd connection where he's got the crowd rallying behind him, and generally comes up short. In fact, he's lost multiple matches to this point by knockout. Because you can't keep this guy down. Yota Tsuji hits him with, you know, whatever he calls his spear, Gene Blast. One count kick out. This after he basically beat the guy down with chops for 20 minutes. Hits him with the Gene Blast. You'd think this is a rudimentary 1-2-3, one count kick out. Guy comes back, knee to the face, boot to the face, nearly comes back and wins the match, then loses moments later via knockout. Lost via knockout to Bolton Oleg. He had to powerbomb him three times and knock the dude out to keep him down. Lost to Takeshita because he just wasn't ready for that yet. But the story they're telling here is a clear one. He's not ready now, but he's got more guts than brains. And one day he's going to be ready. And this tournament we're going to look back on is the one that got him ready. And I think because of that, and because his work has been fine, good even, he has been one of the most compelling stories in this G1 through the halfway point, if not the most compelling story of the tour. And I do want to mention his partner, Oscar, because I have been pleasantly surprised by Oscar as a singles wrestler as well. In fact, you know, Yuto Ice, who I haven't been a big fan of, but I had a feeling he'd do okay. I don't know what I was expecting out of Oscar. Probably nothing. But he has been delivering. One of my big complaints with Oscar is that for such a big guy, there's, you know, I want more monster, as a wise man once said to Lance Archer in this very company. Give me more monster. I want more monster out of Oscar, and we've gotten it. He's fucking choking guys out, and, you know, he's showing more monster. And a guy with that size, the last thing you want to be is a big dude like this, who's like the biggest dude in the promotion, and you work baby tissue soft, or you work passive. Basically, you're Renayabe. And all the criticisms that I've levied at him over recent years, you know, how he just, in All Japan, even though, you know, he had that very nice Triple Crown match last week against Kento Miyahara, where, you know, he kind of got away from that a little bit. But you don't want to come across as the worst thing you can be as a big guy or a tall guy and your work come across passive. And that has not been the case with Oscar in this tournament. So to a lesser degree, I think he has stepped up as a singles wrestler. In fact, one of my talking points coming into this tour was that the Knockout Brothers needed that tag team. And I was going to be watching this G1 very closely to see if that was in fact the case. And you know what? I've changed my mind. Not only do I think they don't need the tag team, I think both of these guys are more interesting outside of the tag team. I have been more locked into and interested in their work in this tour than I have ever been in their dopey tag team. I don't like the tag team. I have tried so hard to get into that tag team, and I just cannot. But I think both of them, to varying degrees, have been very compelling in this tournament. And I now am far more optimistic of both of their futures based on what I've seen halfway through this tour than I have ever seen in that tag team. Number three is Drilla Maloney. My God, has this guy been great. He might be my favorite worker so far to watch in this tournament. That doesn't mean I think his matches have the highest average star ratings or anything like that. I don't even star rate matches anymore. But match for match, all things being equal, I have had more fun watching the rise of Drilla Maloney maybe than watching anybody else in this tournament. Thank you for listening to this special preview of this week's subscriber exclusive Flagship podcast. You can listen to the show in its entirety at flagshippatreon.com.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.